Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let's move now from our conversation about the values that the U.S. stands for to the tricky diplomacy of trying to foster those values around the world. Both right and left agree that it's important to promote U.S. values, despite some of the pushback against that in our last conversation, but easier said than done, as this week's events have made all too clear. So let's talk with Slate's War Stories correspondent Fred Kaplan. He's been a U.S. military and diplomacy watcher since his days reporting from Moscow in the early 1980s. Hi, Fred. Welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be here.
You wrote this week that one lesson from the embassy attack in Libya was that diplomacy still matters. So you're saying the events there of an are an indication that something is working?
Well, either working or not working, but it depends how things go between the nations. You know, what's really going on here has very little to do with values. This is a struggle for power within the Muslim world, and it's a struggle between competing interests, both there and here. The new president of Egypt is in a real spot. On the one hand, he is the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. He has a powerful constituency, which, if it didn't take part in these protests, it certainly supports them, or at least supports them more than it supports the right of some American fanatic to make a film blasting the Prophet Muhammad. On the other hand, his country is in a mess economically, and the only way to get it back to anything resembling a viable country is foreign investment, tourism, foreign aid, all of which is going to go down the tubes if the word gets out and the impression is reinforced that he can't even guarantee the protection of an embassy on his own territory, which is, you know, American embassy is American sovereign territory. So you mentioned something about American weakness. I mean, I think really Obama is playing this pretty properly. On the one hand, standing up for what we believe in, but at the same time telling the president, look, you've got to get on board here. Otherwise, it's not through any action of mine, but through Congress, through business, through everybody else, that you're going to be sunk. So, you know, this is a delicate game of diplomacy going on now, and in which values might be the convenient vocabulary in which things are expressed publicly, but very critical interests lie on the line here.
Well, critics from the right, who you mentioned, accuse the Obama administration of sending mixed signals when it comes to foreign diplomacy. And we saw that line of attack when Romney said that the U.S. embassy should not have apologized for the video mocking Muhammad that sparked the riots. I'm not sure that apologizing for it was what they actually did, based on having just read the statement on the air from the embassy. But here's a little more of Romney from his press conference 2 days ago on the embassy attack.
Their administration spoke. The president takes responsibility not just for the words that come from his mouth, but also from the words that come from his ambassadors, from his administration, from his embassies, from his State Department. They clearly sent mixed messages to the world, and the statement that came from the administration and the embassy is the administration. The statement that came from the administration was a statement which is akin to apology, and I think was a severe miscalculation.
And Fred, the administration did distance itself from that original embassy statement,
right,
in case it gave the impression that somehow they were making excuses for the anti-embassy violence as having been provoked. So maybe they are sending mixed messages.
No, but you know, in defense of Republicans, this is not even a position taken by Republicans. It's a position taken by Romney in a moment of really pathetic desperation, backed by maybe three or four Republicans who don't have much standing on these kinds of issues, not at all backed by Republicans who do. And his whole premise that, you know, our first reaction was an apology was based on, okay, in the beginning it could have been dismissed as a misunderstanding of the chronology. You know, the embassy's original statement about, you know, we condemn those who condemn religions, was put out 6 hours before the walls were scaled. 6 hours. So that's not what they were responding to. But, you know, it is very sad to see someone, you know, running for president from one of the two major powers entangle himself in at a moment of extreme delicacy over matters that depend on a thorough knowledge of what's going on. And maybe sitting, you know, everybody, John McCain, even Paul Ryan at one point suggested it might have been a good idea to hold back for a few hours.
Although Ryan did then anything but hold back, and we're going to play a Ryan clip in a minute. But I want to play another clip of President Obama first, because as the protests continue in Egypt, we're seeing the complicated nature of the diplomacy with that country and their new leadership. And yesterday, President Obama was asked by Telemundo whether he thought Egypt is still an ally. And here's his response.
I don't think that we would consider them an ally, but we don't consider them an enemy. They are a new government that is trying to find its way. They were democratically elected. I think that we are going to have to see how they respond to this incident.
So, Fred Kaplan from Slate, is that kind of a mixed signal?
No, I think it's not at all a mixed signal. I think that is a very direct signal, which I assume followed the 20-minute late-night phone conversation that he had with the Egyptian president, in which he's saying, look, you know, this ball is in your court. Which path are you going to follow? You know, I mentioned the internal conflict in the Muslim world. There are those who want more isolation, who do not want to join the modern world, who want to reject everything about it, and those who do want some integration with the modern world. The Egyptian economy depends on the latter winning that struggle, even if there are political incentives to back the former. What Obama is saying in that is, look, you know, this is an open book. You're a new country. We backed you coming into this world, but whether we're with you going forward depends entirely on your actions over the next several days. I think it was an absolutely unequivocal statement.
Well, more unequivocal was Jimmy Carter's statement when asked about what the president said. He said, Egypt is an ally of the U.S. We know Egypt well. And I want to play another clip.
Well, we don't know Egypt very well at all, actually.
At this very moment.
Jimmy Carter, I think.
Here's a bit of audio of a very awkward exchange that followed that clip of the president between a reporter and a State Department spokesman in the wake of that statement.
So is Egypt an ally or is it not an ally? And if it is not an ally, in the sense of the word, in the sense of the being a major non-NATO ally, is Israel not an ally either? Is Pakistan and India, that don't have mutual defense treaties with the United States, they're major non-NATO allies, but you guys don't really think they're allies? Is that the message you're trying to send? Because that's the message the president did last night, unless you've decided that Egypt no longer qualifies as a major non-NATO ally.
Well, that was certainly, I don't think, the intention. I'm going to refer you to the White House for further parsing on this.
So forget about the president's words. You're saying that the administration, the State Department, still regards Egypt as a major non-NATO ally, and it is still a recipient of all the privileges that entails.
Yes.
So some discomfort there over the fact that officially Egypt is in this legal classification known as major non-NATO ally, but the president was hedging in that original statement, and that obviously led that State Department spokesperson uncomfortable.
Well, I'm not quite sure whether it was a reporter looking for a headline or what. I mean, the fact is Egypt today is not the same Egypt that it was 2 years ago, at least in terms of, you know, diplomatic relations. And I think another phrase that President Obama used was that it's a work in progress and that relations between our two countries are a work in progress. And I think that's absolutely true. And if what we've seen in these last 48 hours proves to be a pivotal moment in both of those things, it will be because the leaders of Egypt and Libya decide to go one direction or the other direction. And it has presented them with a crisis in which they may be forced to do that. And which direction they choose will depend on what our relations are. Yeah. And I think the message that Obama was sending him the other night was like, look, you know, we give you billions of dollars in military aid. You've been talking with our businessmen about returning investment in your country. You know, think very carefully about what you do.
And talk about mixed messages with respect to Egypt. Things got complicated when a State Department tweet caused a stir in response to a message from the Muslim Brotherhood expressing outrage at the film and condemning the violence. The U.S. Embassy in Cairo tweeted, "Have you checked your own Arabic feeds? I hope you know we read those, too." In other words, we know that the Muslim Brotherhood is expressing sympathy for us in English, but not being nearly as forceful to your Egyptian audience.
Well, yeah, again, I don't know. I think maybe they were going too far on that. But I think Egypt needs to be put on the spot on this one. This might be, you know, we've been finessing these kinds of things for some time. And by we, I mean, you know, the U.S. government through many administrations. And, you know, now might be the time to really face it head on.
Let's get one more Paul Ryan clip in here before we run out of time. And here is Ryan yesterday describing what he called the Romney peace through strength approach, an old Reagan term, and he sees a two-step approach to foreign policy. It starts with that idea of values we've been discussing earlier in the show.
We believe in plurality, tolerance, religious freedom. So it's important that people know who we are and what we believe in and the values we're going to stand up for. That's point number one. But point number two, if you show weakness, if you show moral equivocation, then foreign policy adventurism among our adversaries will increase. We do not want a world climate where our adversaries are so tempted to test us and our allies are worried about trusting us. And that is, unfortunately, the path that we are on right now, and I really worry about that.
Paul Ryan yesterday. Now, Fred Kaplan, we're almost out of time, and we'll talk in much more depth later in the election season in our 30 Issues in 30 Days series about the competing approaches to foreign policy. But that is the essential Romney and Republican critique of Obama foreign policy, is that it's leaving us weaker in the world and therefore leaving more space for our adversaries to engage in adventurism, as Ryan called it.
Well, I would say two things. First, the world is much more anarchic than it was during the Cold War. Each country, no matter how powerful by any measure, has less leverage to actually control the outcome and shape of things than it did before. Second, whenever Romney has been asked what he would have done in his place, he's never said it. You know, he's never said. Third, in terms of this peace through strength thing, let us remember that it was Ronald Reagan, the paragon of peace through strength, who, when 240 Marines were blown up in Lebanon, and by the way, why did that happen, completely abandoned Lebanon.
Fred Kaplan writes the War Stories column for Slate. Fred, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, what's in your moral DNA? We will help you take a quiz that clarifies where your politics meet your values. Stay with us.